Welcome back to another episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Today I have Stephen Armstrong, an Inner Circle member and a tremendous personal trainer and coach and power lifter. And we talk all things powerlifting, fat loss, personal training, logic versus emotion, all of it. It was a really fun episode. Thank you, Stephen, for coming on. I hope you enjoyed it. Any questions, let me know. Steve.
Jordan.
What's up, man?
How's it going? Good. Fantastic. How are you?
Dude, I'm good. Thank you for getting on the phone with me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Man, I'm excited. I'm really excited. So what are you up to this morning?
So I just got done a workout about half an hour ago. I have a buddy who tore his Achilles a few weeks back and like wanted to get back into training. So I'm helping him out and we sweating, which is great because a lot of people think that you can't do that and you shouldn't train or exercise with an injury, especially like to that extent. So it's cool to see that he's eager to exercise and get working out.
How did he tear his Achilles?
He was doing like some kind of boot camp style workout.
Oh, shit.
And he was doing some sprints. Was acting like he was in high school again and made a cut and hit the floor and tore it. So, but it was good. We hit some upper body and we were able to like, he can still row and do like the skier. We can like assault bike upper body only. So he's still able to get some cardio and sweating in, which I think he was missing a lot of.
Yeah. Especially if you're used to that boot camp style workout.
Yeah. You want that feeling of kind of exhaustion and hard work.
100%. And I like that you know, I think intuitively a lot of people know, like, just because they might have an injury doesn't mean they can't work out. The way that I always phrase it is like, listen, if there are people in the world who can work out and they don't have legs, then someone with a leg injury can also work out.
Of course. And like, he can still train his other leg.
Exactly.
And that's what I think a lot of people are missing the boat on as well. So he's still going to be able to stay strong as possible and move forward post-injury and hopefully recover a little bit quicker than if he just decided to get depressed and throw in the towel.
I agree, man. I love that. So talk to me. I know, like, you're like, preparing for your meet and everything. Like, talk to me. How's everything going?
Yeah, so good. My meet is Saturday.
So oh, I'm yes, dude. It's
2 days
coming up.
2 days out. The prep, honestly, this time, this is going to be like my fourth or fifth meet. And this prep felt like it took forever. So I'm to just like be done and get after it. Because it was a little bit longer, I planned it like 14 weeks out because I knew I had a vacation where it was going to be hard to get to gym where I could do my heavy lifts, and then I had another week where I was at an IDEA fitness conference, so I was in lectures all day, so training was hard that week too. So I planned like a 14-week prep, and I'm down to the end, and I'm feeling good, feeling strong, so I'm excited, and it's at York
Barbell.
York Power.
I love
York Barbell.
That. I've competed there several times,
which is
times.
Like historic. It's awesome.
Man,
so I'm excited.
Is a fun place to compete. It's a really cool environment. Everybody's super nice. That's a really great place to compete. That's awesome, man.
I'm stoked.
And so
yeah.
What are you trying to hit? What are your goal numbers?
So honestly, my last meet, I hit a total of 1275. So even if I lift 1276, I'll be happy. Like, I know I'm going to, like, smash that because I haven't competed in a while. But that's the main goal, is just beat myself
the last
time.
PR is a PR. I love that.
PR is a PR, especially in, like, a competition. It's way different than being in the gym. So I would love if I could pull 600. And that's honestly all that I really care about. Like, I don't really care about my squat. Bench is cool, but like deadlifts are like my jam. So I would love to pull six if I can. Bench, I would love to put up 330, and squatting, I would love to squat 420, and those would all be meet PRs for me. So
I love that.
That's the goal.
That's amazing. And is there anything that like I can help with? Is there anything that you wanted to jam on today?
I mean, like for, as far as you know, the meet goes and my prep goes, I feel pretty solid. And one thing, I shot you an email a little bit ago about this. When I went into the meet, my prep, I started my weight was like 210. And I would compete in the 93 kilogram, which cuts off at 204.8. Okay. And I was going through it and I was like, man, I gotta start cutting soon. I just didn't really feel like doing it, but I was kind of putting that pressure on myself. Like, you know, like you need to do it if you want to be like as competitive as possible. And then the meet director sent an email and was like, hey, like I'm ordering awards. If you're moving weight classes, I need to know now so I can make sure we have everything set. And I was like, oh man, like, and then I just had like a real conversation with myself where I was like, listen, like I'm not going out here trying to set any records except my own. I'm don't really feel like cutting down aggressively at the end of my prep. I'd rather just go in as strong as possible and lift as much weight and have the best experience.
100%.
Because last meet I did was about a year and a half ago, and I took a lot of time off because my prep was just like miserable, and I just like I did okay at the meet, but I just didn't have fun because I was stressed about making my weight class and I was stressed about hitting every single lift and every single percentage that I needed to hit during prep, and like it just made me hate it. So I took a long time off and I was like, all right, like I'm ready to do this again. And I took a much more like flexible approach. And I was talking about it a lot in the inner circle about it of like some days, honestly, I just went to the gym and maybe like foam rolled and did some mobility. And maybe if I was feeling good, I would go hit my main lift for the day and not do the accessory. Most days I did everything, but I like, allowed myself to have that flexibility of like, and so that's been great, and I hope that helps people realize that you don't have to be on point or follow the plan 100% of the time, and you can allow yourself to just have fun and enjoy yourself and be a little bit more flexible on that end, because we talk about that on the nutrition part of being flexible and allowing yourself to get back on track whenever. But I think on the training end, people feel like they need to be crushing it every single time and breaking records every time they're in the gym and always increasing their weight and always increasing like their volume or whatever, but you don't necessarily
I agree 100%, and there's a couple things. Like number one, I know a lot of people they like the idea of competing in a powerlifting competition, but they say like, oh, I'm not strong enough yet or I'm not ready yet. And I'm always like, listen, what's like if you're just gonna go run like a charity 5k, you wouldn't say, oh no, I can't run a 5K because like I haven't trained for it yet. You'd like, no, like obviously you'd want to be prepared physically, but there's no, you don't have to be an elite 5K runner to go run a charity 5K. It's the same thing with the powerlifting competition. Like if you want to go in
exactly
and lift and be with other people and test yourself and also have fun, then absolutely do it. And what I love about what you're saying is like, number one, you realize that going into the meet, you wanted to have fun with it. Like going in and being too stressed and like anxious about it and being like almost like too focused on a specific outcome takes away the fun. And it's funny because when I created the University of Delaware powerlifting team, and one of the things I used to make the lifters do before we competed, before every lift, is I used to make everyone tell a one-liner, like a one-line joke before they went up to the platform, because it was just like, what's That's the point good. Of doing all this if we're not going to have fun? It's like, this is the whole, like, we go to the gym every day, we have fun, we train, and then all of a sudden, like, one day we're supposed to go do the exact same thing in front of other people and not have fun. It's like, this is all about enjoying. So I love that, and I also love that
you decided not to cut weight? It's one of those things where it's like a lot of lifters, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to go and I don't want to lose. Like, I don't want to be the weakest one in the weight class. And I'm like, well, several yeah. things. Number one is, who gives a fuck? And that's first and foremost. And second,
exactly.
And you really hit on this one, which I think is the more important one, which is like, would you rather go in and be the weakest one in your weight class, but hit personal records in all of your own lifts, or be the strongest one in your weight class and hit zero personal records? It's like 10 times out of 10,
exactly.
you'd rather hit personal records regardless of whether or not where you like place in regard to other people.
Yeah, and so like I decided to move up to the 105 kilogram, and I was like, you know what? I can probably still be competitive. Like, if I'm being honest, like, I know, like, I'm pretty strong. My deadlift can take me pretty far. Yeah, so I was like, I can still be competitive here. And what really took the scale is they released the schedule, and originally I was thinking my weigh-in was going to be 7 a.m., and if it was going to be 7 a.m., I was like, you know what? Like, I could probably do that, you know, like, just cut some water weight 48 hours ahead of time and do that. But then the schedule came out, my weigh-in's at noon. And I was like, nah.
Nope.
That's all right. I'm not trying to go in here, like, super hungry or whatever. So I'm like, forget it. I'll just move to the 105s and, you know, like, be able to, like, drink my coffee and eat a good breakfast beforehand and go in optimal with my strength levels.
That's smart, man. That's the smart way to do it. And you're going to have more fun with it that way. Like, I think it's people get way too competitive. And it sounds odd. It's like, yeah, it's a competition. But it's not, unless you're going into the competition with the goal of setting records, there's no reason to really take it to the point so seriously that you can't enjoy yourself at all.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, and even before, like, he sent that email and I was like, you know what, like, let me look up the state records and just see what they are. And if I can come close, like, I'll move down the weight class. But I was like, and then I looked at them and they're like a little out of my range. So I was like, you know what, there's no point. Like, I'm just trying to beat me and have my best meet and have my best experience. Because if you go, like, one thing I love about powerlifting is, like, the community is so supportive, and a lot of people,
dude,
I think, don't understand that, because it's just like, it's like a big bunch of, like, buff, strong dudes who, like, sniff ammonia packs and, like, slap each other and scream when they lift. But, like, at the end of the day, like, and in between those moments, like, there's such great supportive people who, like, just want to see you succeed. And I didn't want to give up that experience with those people because I'm miserable because I'm hungry or I, like, am not having a good time because I decided to.
It's so funny
because
I remember when I first started powerlifting and going to meets, my expectation of a powerlifting meet was a whole bunch of, like, massive dudes. Keeping in mind, I'm, like, 5'4". I was competing in 132. Like, not, like, this big, massive dude. Not like, and I was expecting all these massive dudes who are all like, they wouldn't talk to you. They would all be in their own head. They would all be like screaming and smashing their head against a barbell like that. And like, that was just what my preconceived notion was. Then I go there and like, you have, there's a lot of massive dudes there, but they're also like the big friendly giant. And they're always like, hey, let me help you. Have you done this before? This is your first time? Awesome. Let me explain how it works. Come on, you got this. Like, encouraging you.
Yeah,
and
like,
it's like, and then all in addition to that, over the last, I'd call it 8 to 10 years, there's been a ton more women emerging in the sport too. It's like, which is incredible. Like,
which
I
is
remember
great.
When I first started, it was basically all men. And then more over the last like 5 to 8 years, there are entire flights, like 20, 30, 40, 50 lifters, all women. It's like there's, I'd say probably like at least 10 to 20% of every meet that I've been to are first time lifters.
Yeah. And I want to say that when I was looking at the roster, I'm pretty sure there's just as many, if not more, women lifting in this meet this weekend, which I was like stoked about because that's super cool and awesome that that's starting to grow on that end. meet was a few years back. I had never done it before. I went by myself. I didn't have a coach. I didn't take anybody with me. I just wanted to go and do it. And I was like so stressed out because like I was like, when do I start warming up? Like, when do I eat my stuff? And it was like this big thing. And like the biggest guy there was like, hey, like, are you new at this? I was like, yeah. And he coached me the entire day. He's like warming up, like here's what you do for your warm up. Here's when like to start eating this and that. And he ended up setting like records and everything because he was like a monstrous man. It was super cool. So I hope that it continues to grow and
I love
people
that,
realize
that's
like
amazing. That's
it is such an awesome and supportive, fun community.
Is there anything going into your meet or just in training or in general that like I can help with or anything else that you want to jam on?
I feel pretty solid with everything and going into it. One thing that I've really like, and I think this will help a lot of people.
Yep.
One thing that has kind of resonated with me along my prep time is about like progress, right? And thinking like my like deadlift. Once you get to a range on in like any lift, there becomes a point where even like 2 or 3 pounds heavier is a lot of weight. Like a
Absolutely.
It's significant progress if you can increase, you know, 1 kilo. And like I was like, man, people all the time are like so upset because they're losing half a pound or 0.1 pounds. And like I took it to like, you think like your Olympic sprinters, they would gosh. Of just like grinding it up and grind. Aren't easy anymore. Down a little bit and you're like, oh, like plateau, I'm stuck. Now I need to like go do something crazy. I need to start intermittent fasting or I need to start doing keto because I'm plateaued and my body knows. Like, it drives me crazy. And like, I face that a lot with my clients and I'm like, listen, like, just keep going.
Man.
Any progress you make is significant progress.
I think like, it's so interesting how people logically even know this when you say it to them. Like one of the funny things that I've noticed when you say this to someone is like, they're like, I know, but, and I'm always like, no, like, stop right there. Like, I know, but I just feel like this or, but it should be going faster. It's like, no, you know, so that's it. And it's so funny because people intuitively and logically know this, but I think, and this just goes along a line, along like with self-efficacy research and understanding people's confidence in themselves. Like even though a lot of coaches, I think they really struggle with this. Coaches struggle with like the motivation aspect to like the accountability aspect for their clients. It's like, it's super important to play that role as a coach, to be there, to remind them of that, because even though they logically know it, to be there to support them and say, no, stop. Don't say, but like, no buts, like, you know it. Keep going, because that is when like a lot of times people will quit or they'll slack off, they'll stop seeing progress, then they'll get demotivated. And so it's like, it's so interesting how it's like those little talks, those little just nudges forward to keep push, to keep them knowing that they're on the right track are really all you need to keep pushing someone forward until all of a sudden now they get it, now they know what to do, now like they've had enough experience where maybe they don't need that anymore. it's super interesting. I was just like, once they get to a certain point where they like they've internalized it, then they can do it on their own. But sometimes it just takes that nudging along the way, that positive nudging, that optimistic nudging, that like, hey, you know the right answer in your gut, like listen to your gut, like then they can do it on their own.
And I think a lot of where I think it comes from is a lot of people either want to be or think that they're like a special case.
Yes.
And they're the 1% because they're struggling to lose weight all of a sudden. All of a sudden, you know, it's like the hormones are messed up or like a thousand things that you hear. And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is like our bodies are a lot the same as far as like the function goes. And there's a lot of small differences, but like most people aren't that 1% and that special rare case.
It's funny you say that. Like within my first 10 articles ever written in 2011, I wrote an article called "You Aren't a Special Butterfly." And it was basically just around the same topic, being like, listen, it's very easy to think that you're a special case, that you're the anomaly, that because of your hormones, or because of your age or because of whatever, that it's not going to work for you. And it's what's really interesting. And this is a piece of psychology and emotional behavior that I'm very, very curious about and interested in is when people struggle to lose weight or make progress, they often wear that struggle like a badge of honor on their sleeve. And they're like, no, well, you don't understand or you don't get it. It's like, no, I'm like, it's my age or it's my hormones. It's my this, it's my that. And it's funny because I was literally just speaking with someone who they have a thyroid disorder. And they got really mad about my recent post being like saying, listen, if you have a thyroid issue, like, yes, it can be harder. But once you get your medication and your thyroid levels come back to normal, then it will be per usual. And she was like, well, that's not the case. Like, it's not per usual. And I was like, well, what do you mean? She was like, you just don't get it. She's like, yeah, I have a thyroid disorder and I got on medication. And yes, I'm down 40 pounds now and everything is going well, but it's still not easy. And I was like, hold on.
You're down 40 pounds.
I was like, you're down 40 pounds. You got on medication. It's down 40 pounds. I never said it would be easy, but it's not easy for anybody. It's not easy for a single person. No one's process is easy. But the fact is that once everything is brought back to normal, and that's even the rare cases of people who actually do have legitimate thyroid disorders. Once you are like, you're brought back up to normal, it's like, it's not anything special. It's always going to be hard. It's always going to be difficult. It's always going to be a serious struggle, but that doesn't mean you can't do it.
Exactly. And one thing that I love, you said recently in one of your videos, I haven't earned the right yet to hate this. And like, dude, I love that. Love it. So good. And I don't know. I don't understand where it came from, where people like have expected,
you know,
it to be.
It's funny.
Easy.
I don't think that.
I think it's just because,
again, it's
like
all logical,
easy,
right? It's but, I think it's the dichotomy of the logic versus the emotion. And I think so we're all like very much in our own head. And so when we're in our own head, we don't speak logically, we speak emotionally. It's sort of like whenever you're having a problem or a struggle and like you like get yourself up, like you're into a fit. And then yep. Once you finally talk to a friend about it, as you start to verbalize it, you say like, listen, I know this is going to sound silly, but it's like, and then once you actually say it and your friend is like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're like, I know it sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean? It's like, well, and when it was in your head, it made sense. But once you verbalize it and made it logical, it doesn't make sense anymore. I think in people's heads, they're like, it should be easier than this. I should be making progress more quickly than this.
Yeah.
It's not working for me. And as soon as they start talking about it objectively and looking at the objective data, the logical data, the things that are actually happening, they're like, oh, I know. I've lost 4 pounds this month. But it just doesn't seem like that much. It's like, okay, well, how much is good progress per week? 1 pound a week. Okay, so you've literally lost an average of 1 pound a week. I know, but it just doesn't seem like that much. It's like, it's, you literally have to pull it out of people to get them to realize that they're being their own worst enemy.
Yeah. And I'm like super blessed. One of my full-time job, I work as a trainer at a retirement community. So I'm working with a very senior population. Most of them are 70 years old and up, with a range of different ability levels. Like some are blind or have Parkinson's, or like some go and do like the senior games and can run like the 40-yard dash. And what I've come to really love and appreciate about this clientele, and it's taught me a lot, is like,
yeah, I love that.
Any little bit of progress, they notice and appreciate it. Like anything. And a lot of them are like past the point of like wanting to lose weight or like caring to do that, because they just want to like live their life and like they just want to function every day better, and they're not really worried about their body composition. And but just like being able to like go up the steps without being out of breath, or go up the steps at all for some people, or like stand up out of their chair a little bit easier is progress. And part of like my journey, and I think my mission in my life and in fitness, is to show people that like progress is
100%
progress, no matter how you look at it. Any little bit is significant. And like, just don't stop. Just don't stop. And being that person that,
it's funny, one of the
talk you out of quitting, because
my first job as a coach,
it's challenging.
And I was interning at this gym. His name was Fred, and he was 68 years old. And when you're a 14-year-old kid as an athlete, like, I remember I just thought like everybody, number one, wanted to lose fat. Everybody wanted to have a six pack. Everybody should be able to do sprints and cuts and turns and jumps and squats and whatever. Yeah. Like, it's like you have, like, I had no idea. I had no clue. And I remember the thing, what a blessing the coaches that were helping and taking me under their wing. They sat me down with Fred to talk about his goals, and they did it very deliberately, because they knew that it would be like a shock for me to hear. Literally, this guy, all he wanted to be able to do was lift his grandson without any shoulder pain or back pain. That was it. Like, he just had his grandson. He was a young kid, and he wanted to be able to lift his grandson up without risking back pain or without risking hurting his shoulder. Again, he had some torn rotator cuffs. Like, so number one, strengthening him for that, but also teaching him techniques for how to lift, like whether it's a kettlebell or whatever, like how to lift things in a safe way. It's like, what a mind fuck for a lot of people to hear. It's like, this goal isn't necessarily based around physique. It's not based around like weight loss. It's based around just being able to do something that you find very, very valuable and intrinsically important to you. And that is not to say that weight loss or physique based goals can't be or shouldn't be intrinsically important to someone, but it is to say that a lot of times, given this perspective that we often overlook, it allows you to understand that progress is going to take time, and it allows you to be more patient and understand there's more to this whole fitness thing than simply,
yep,
did I lose another half a pound? Or like it's more than that. And like, when you can start, and this is where people win. I noticed people win the most,
yep,
when they get really good at recognizing progress. When they recognize, oh, this is better, that's better, my deadlift is stronger, my single leg deadlift is stronger, my push-ups are stronger.
Yep.
Like, it's when they start to recognize progress in all these different places, which is one of the things I love about the West Side methodology. It's like, every time you go to the gym, you hit a PR. It's like, it's built into it. And I think it's one of the most genius things that Louis ever did. I don't know if it was deliberate or not from a psychology perspective, but he literally set up the entire system so that every time you go in the gym, you are happy because you hit a personal record. Always. It's like, even if it's – and I, he was like, yeah, we're going to – well, I've never hit this with two bands and two chains on it before with this specific bar, and my stance was half an inch closer than that one time, so this was a personal record. It's like every time you go to the gym, you're going to hit a personal record, which I think is so great because when you can start to look at every day as a personal record in some sense, you can't lose. Man, smart man, psychotic
exactly.
Man, smart man.
Yeah, that's smart man, Louis. Smart
he's
man.
Really an extraordinary Dude. Guy. He like was a father to me, but
yes,
absolutely. And it's funny because I also call Gary psychotic as well. I think you have to be psychotic to do amazing things.
Yeah, I agree. But on like that the topic of, you know, like progress and all of that, that's why I think it's important. I give a lot of my clients, like every 90 days or so, like some kind of performance tracker of, you know, like, listen, and this goes for like my younger clients as well. We're going to track whatever, like pick these three or four exercises that you really enjoy and you want to see progress on, whether they be deadlifts or chin up, like whatever. And every 90 days, we're going to go and we're going to track your progress. And what I love about that is whether or not they lost a significant amount of weight or whatever, or gained a lot of muscle, if they show progress on those three or four
Absolutely.
Lifts in 90 days, which if you're lifting consistently, will probably happen, it shows like a win. It's like, all right, like I didn't lose that much weight this 90 days as much as I would like to, but you know, like I can do one more chin up than I could before, or I can deadlift 5 more pounds than I could before. And they're like, all right, like awesome, let's keep going, like let's keep doing this. And it's awesome to see that shift in like body composition goals, and you start to see the shift of like performance-based goals start to go. And a lot of times when people make that mindset shift of like, I want to get stronger, I want to get a little fitter,
absolutely,
the body composition kind of
more.
Just naturally,
it's one of those things where it's like
follows.
I think a lot of people get so focused on their body composition that they end up not seeing the strength and the strength progress, performance progress, and then they think that the physique progress isn't happening quickly enough, so then they quit. When in reality, if they focused on the strength and performance stuff and less on the body comp, they shifted their focus. Doesn't mean to stop doing it, but you focus on the strength and performance stuff. The body comp stuff tends to, like you said, it happens naturally. I think mainly because they're not judging themselves every single day based on what the scale says or whatever. And so they allow it to happen because they're not quitting and they're not going off and binging and they're yep. not saying, oh, well, fuck it, it's not working, because they're simply being consistent with it because they're not judging themselves every day.
Yeah, I love that. And what I also love about it is that, like, those people, like when you can get that mindset shift, those people are going to be people that like make it fitness for life. And because there's only so long that like you can be hard on yourself, like, listen, like I need to lose more weight and I need to lose more weight before like it just becomes a little bit like discouraging and you're like, man, like I just can't do it. And like finding those small wins within there is huge for a lot of people. Like, all right, like I didn't lose it, but I did this time, and like I'll take that as a win. And you start to build a little bit of momentum and you start to get a little bit more of that motivation back for them. Like, all right, like I can do this now that I know that I can do this and do a chin up. I know that like I can stay consistent in my calorie deficit and, you know, not go crazy on the weekends, because next time I want to do 2 chin-ups.
100%.
And I know that I need to lose a little bit of body fat to do that. So like, I'm going to stick to it this time. And it just keeps you accountable in, I think, a way that only
focusing
on
I agree
body
completely.
Composition goals
it's one of the things that
doesn't really give
it's interesting because for me I never like to tell anyone what their goals should be, right? You know, as a coach, you never want to say like, well, you need to be focusing more on this. Like it's almost is the best way to turn someone away from you. Like, but I think as a coach, it takes a lot of skill and tact as a coach to sort of.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that quote that I use all the time. It's like, it's you don't tell people what to see, but you show them where to look. It's like when you as the coach place more emphasis on their strength and performance than their weight and their like that stuff, then they start to learn through just watching and habit and through observation that, oh, my coach cares more about my deadlift and my chin-ups than he does about my morning weight, then, okay, I'll start paying attention that more. And he gets more excited when my deadlift goes up than when my weight goes down. So obviously, like, that's more important. And then they start to just, through osmosis, start to do the exact same thing. That is a super important skill as a coach to be able to realize that and to celebrate those strength wins more than anything.
Exactly. And that's a lot of what I say a lot to other coaches and some of my clients sometimes is a lot of times your clients take on your personality, whether it be long-term, because you're becoming a person of like authority and someone who's like a consistent person in their life and who's helping them achieve big things. So you kind of become that role model kind of person. So, like, a lot of times they take on your personality, whether it be all of the time or at least for that, you know, what, 30 to 60 minutes that you're in front of them, they take on what you put out. And I think that's a lot of times where coaches get in trouble with their clients because realizing that was, like, a huge eye-opener for me where – I was like, all right, like, I can't be the person who just, like, wants to flatten people and screams at people all the time when that's not what they need or are looking for. Like, because I think a lot of times when you're starting to become a coach, like, that's kind of what you think that you need to be. Like, you need to be the person that makes people crawl out every time. And you need to be given these crazy workouts to set yourself apart. But to, like, any new coaches maybe listening to this or veteran coaches who haven't realized this, like, the more supportive and the more empathetic I think that you can be with each person in front of you, the more people you will see, because that's going to drive the referrals and that's going to drive all of the things that you need and are looking for as a coach and also make you not like an asshole to everybody else, like watching you in the gym. Because one thing I love, and I think Tony Gentilcore said it recently, of like, your training sessions are like a recruitment time. Like, people are always going to be watching you train your clients. Like, if you're doing that in a gym setting and you're a trainer, like, people are going to be watching what you're doing with your people. People are going to be watching how you're interacting with them. And if you can show that you're that supportive and uplifting, absolutely, building person for every person in front of you, you're going to be successful. Because I think the people needing that level of support and empathy is
100%,
a bigger range of people
about,
than the people looking
to get
their
ass
kicked for an
hour. Popular Instagram post I've put up several times is the, like, are you intimidated in the gym? And it's like, most people, unless you're an absolute veteran lifter, are in some way, shape, or form intimidated in the gym. And if you can show that you're the coach who welcomes everybody, is non-judgmental, that you'll take anybody on and that you'll help them, you'll motivate them, you'll care for them, success is inevitable. I love that, man. Dude, thank you so much. I think that, especially,
exactly,
I think for everyone, from powerlifters to people who are thinking about powerlifting to newbie coaches to veteran coaches, I think that you've given a lot of amazing insight, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you having me on.
If they're looking to follow along with your
lifting, we'll have to do it again sometimes. It's great. So, like, I'm actually not super active on social media. I'm on Facebook. I'm not on Instagram anymore. Like, I'm not like really into all of that much anymore. It just started to become a little bit distracting. So I could kind of just cut it out, but my name is Stephen Armstrong. You can find me on Facebook.
I will say that like you're posting in
the circle. If you're in the inner circle, I post in there.
Informative and educational and encouraging. And keeping in mind, I know a lot of people, one of the things that people ask before they join the inner circle is like, is it only advanced lifters? Like I'm a beginner. I'm a brand new beginner. I don't know anything. And then they might see something like your post. I'll be like, listen, we have people in there who are outrageously strong. Like Stephen Armstrong is outrageously strong. But what he does is he's not posting his lifts as a way of bragging. He's posting and educating for whether you are brand new and you've never touched a barbell or you are an advanced lifter. And I think that that's something that a lot of beginner people can really benefit from is looking at someone like you who is outrageously, unbelievably strong, but also understands not everyone's at or even close to that level, or even maybe even wants to be at that level, but you have the knowledge, and I think that's one of the biggest and most amazing exactly. contributions that yep. I'm so grateful for with you is like how open you are and willing you are to share within the inner circle.
I really appreciate that. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. So I'm glad that you see that. And I just want to give value where value is due. And the inner circle is a great community where the thing that I love the most about it is everybody in there is ready to learn and be better and like hungry for knowledge. And it's super
it
cool
really
and refreshing to see, the open minds of everybody there. And they're like, listen, like I need help with this. And that's huge. And to have a community where like almost everybody is that way is
due to you being open and encouraging and sharing what you're doing. And I'm super excited to see and hear how you do it this weekend at your competition. For anyone listening, go find him on Facebook, Stephen Armstrong. Like the fact that you just opened up your message inbox to people is super nice, and I appreciate that. And man, honestly, just thank you for being you. You've been incredibly kind and generous to like everybody that I've seen, and I really appreciate you taking the time to help people whenever they ask.
Of course, man, and that comes from what you put out. Like I told you about, like, the client takes on the personality of their coach. Like you're a coach to all of those people in there. So that is directly driven from what you're putting out and what Susan's putting out.
I appreciate it a lot, man. Thank you. Keep me posted with how everything goes at the competition, and I'll talk to you soon. All right. All right. Bye-bye.